like to turn to the fifth chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. I have in the past, you know, kind of in preaching, kind of gone through this chapter and picked out things here and there, but never really tried to preach from this. But I'd like to, Lord willing, try to do that today. I want to start in the 12th verse, Romans chapter 5. And there are, as I go through and I try to study and all, and I think about, and a preacher should think about what he wants his points to be, not discounting the fact that God sometimes can change those points midstream or right now and all, but and then what someone might title the sermon and so forth, but. Because there are many foundational verses, doctrines contained in this chapter 5 of the book of Romans. But it begins, and I'll touch on a little bit what leads up to this, that Paul, when Paul wrote this to the Romans, and being inspired, I mean, you have to imagine the position Paul was in preaching to Jews and Gentiles, and then God through Paul teaching the Jews, and many cast aside and refused God's doctrine, Paul lays it out so simply. And yet sometimes it is difficult, but God reveals it to us. Doesn't have to be somebody standing up here or someone who has had hands laid on him in the ministry to understand these things. And many times we are mistaken on things, and you pray that God will correct those errors. But so it begins, this 12th verse says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." As by one man. So if you ever wonder, how did sin even, listening to Brother Jeff's prayer and on every prayer that we beg for forgiveness and so forth, of our sins, that we sin not and all, that sin is prevalent in the world. How did it get here? Did God put it here? No. We have, in simple terms here, how it came into the world. By one man centered into the world. Well, okay, who was that man? You all know the answer, so I don't even have to have multiple choice. Adam. By one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. This is original sin. It's a doctrine of original sin. And by that one man. And you notice, and many times I'll go back to where either an event, particular event occurred that's being spoken of in some, maybe somewhere in the New Testament or Old Testament. Paul didn't do that. He didn't say, oh, well, back in Moses' book of Genesis, you know, well, this is where it was in the third chapter, sixth, seventh verse, and in there that Adam chose to break the law that God gave him. He made a moral decision there. Do you have God curse you, or do you have him bless you? And he did that. Now, he gave him that law. We have laws, and then we know, and we'll speak of the law of Moses in a minute. I like the term Edenic law. That was the law in Eden, in the Garden of Eden. That was it. He did not choose wisely. Adam didn't. And he partook of that. And so by that one man, sin entered the world. Then it says, and death by sin. So at the same time, death entered the world. Wasn't before then. It says right there. You want to know how did death even enter the world? Why am I not immortal? Number one, I don't want to be here. But we know, you know, I don't want to feel comfortable in just leaving things out. We know that there's a part of us that will live on. It doesn't even blink at the time of our natural death. It goes on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever in eternity. Doesn't matter what we had just done prior to death or 3 years before, whatever. Doesn't matter. But we still follow God's law. We're blessed in that. And so death by sin. This day thou shalt surely die. That day. Now, question is asked, well, he lived to be 930 years old. So that's 900, that's almost 1,000 years later he died. So it wasn't that day. But did he died a death in trespasses and sin is what he did right there. And besides that, he began to die, degenerate. He began to die then. And so, yes, to both of those. He died that day, and he died 930 years later. So both of those. And you know, there's some, and there's intricacies in Scripture and so forth, but there's some things I just refuse to argue about. So ministers and people will go off in different directions on even that point. But the fact remains, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. Now then, the second part of this, it's not even the end of a sentence yet, but it says, and so death... That death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Passed on, and it passed on to all of humanity. All people. Passed on. Now, another doctrine in this is the federal headship. Federal headship. All that is that Adam is our federal head. He was, in the Garden of Eden, our human legal representative.
Amen.
We can't, I mean, and so, well, that's not fair. You know, I wouldn't have done that. No. He was our federal head. And we'll get in a moment to, we have two of those. Two. Jesus Christ. So, when he did this, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So he passed that death over all humanity. All men, women. So who is, we know that when we speak of the family of Adam, the Adamic family, that's everyone. Anyone that is conceived and then has that life. Natural life that's and then born and so forth. I don't want to get into all of the details. I'll never get out of even this 12th verse. And this is original sin. So that is, we are born, we are conceived in that nature of Adam and born that way. So there is. And we'll get into something else in a moment. So that's where we were when Adam broke that law. God gave him that law. He had a choice. He chose to eat of that tree. And so he was cursed. And then we were cursed through Adam. And all. If you just stop there in the story, or in the Scripture, then that's where we're left. So that's where we're left. So there is. So then, if we don't bring in anything else, we are damned. We are cursed eternally to be in the absence of God. Doesn't God have every right to bestow the punitive damages on that man and everyone that he represented? Yes, he had every right. So, and he did. That happened. But there's more to it. We'll get to. In this same chapter, it's wonderful. And in fact, the next six verses of this chapter are all enclosed in parentheses. They're all enclosed. It's put in there. So when we read this, if I read it, I'm going to read the 12th and the 18th verses. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. When I get so twisted around, and Brother Jeff, the prayer that he worded, the chaos, and when I let myself get distracted from this one here, that's a disgrace and irreverent to God. And yet I cannot help that the humanity that I have in my nature through Adam can't help it. But God can bless us to rise above that. He can bless us to think about this this very act that Jesus performed at the cross, and to worship Him as we should, and not become distracted. That is so one of my prayers for this church that I try to shepherd, that we not become distracted, that we are blessed to rise above the things of this world, and that we show God the reverence that He so deserves. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. To honor Him and glorify Him. And when we do, we are so blessed. That's choosing wisely. Not like Adam did. But we still have this nature that we're given by our federal head, Adam. Now, Paul goes back. He doesn't go back in this parenthetical statement. He gives some more details of this. To clarify some things. Now going from the 12th to the 13th verse. He says, for until the law, sin was in the world. And he's talking, now he's not talking about the Edenic law. That law that Adam breaks. He's talking about the Mosaic law. Given to Moses way later on. So he's saying sin was in the world until the law. Sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. How can you be charged with a crime if there's no law to support that charge? Now I know things are abused. And all always have been. That's nothing new today. But so it's not charged. That's what imputed is, charged to our account. There, but sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. There was death. Obviously, you think of the first murder. And so forth. You know, killings and those that died. We know that. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. Death didn't begin after the giving of the law of Moses. So he begins that 14th verse and this next sentence with that, and then there's a comma. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. I'll stop at that comma, then I'll wrap it up. So just some additional information. So death reigned from Adam Moses, even over them, there were some that died, but they had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. What was Adam's transgression? He was an adult. He rebelled against God. He knew that law. He knew what he was doing. He was not a robot. He was not a puppet. He was not programmed to do certain things. He chose that. Our father did. Our father chose our federal head. So he was an adult that broke a law. He rebelled against God knowingly, all this. And immediately, he knew that. There is, and I think always has been, there have been disagreements on infants who die in infancy. And Primitive Baptists, if you don't know a little of this history, I'll tell you, Primitive Baptists have been accused of preaching that infants that separate this from this life in death, their natural life ends, whether it's before or after birth, that Primitive Baptists believe that they are able to live in eternity in hell. We do not believe that. I'll refute that right now. And whoever is watching or will watch later on, I'll refute that we don't believe that. We do not believe that there is a certain age of accountability of children. Many place that age that they become accountable for their sins around the age of 12 or 13. I guess those are as good a numbers as any to just pick out of the air. Now, they go to Luke and say, well, that's when Jesus went into the temple, 12 and all. Okay. Doesn't mean that now all children are accountable for their sins. I tell you what, we're accountable for our sins, period, and all. There's no age of accountability. And there's other verses in the Old Testament and so forth that would make more sense to prove, maybe around 20 years of age, so forth. But there is not that. We also, so here's three things. I hope you remember the first one. That was the second one. Third thing is, we do not believe in infant purity. Oh, this is hard for me, having an infant down South Texas and all so forth. But she's showing exerting her independence, should I say. You see that early on. But remember the definition of what Adam did, the similitude of Adam. They died not having committed that, an adult rebellion against God knowingly. You know, an infant, they may know when whatever age, they know what they want, think they know what they want and need and all that. You know, they'll cry and all. So there's some anger in that cry. You can tell the difference in the cry and so on. Rebellion against God Almighty is what we're talking about here. An adult makes a conscious decision. So we do not believe that in infant purity, that they are pure and sinless when they're born. And then you get up to, okay, what day did they stop that? There's some day they seem to. So we don't believe in those things. Now this all has to do with that many over them that had not sinned after similitude of Adam's transgressions. Now, There is no scripture in God's Word that would support that any infant that died in their infancy was not a child of God. There is no scripture in that. That says, let me go get one more verse out in the same book, Romans chapter 9, the 22nd verse. As he's talking about election, that many people say, well, that's not fair, didn't get a chance. You know, he just chose us and didn't choose others and so forth. He could have left us right where Adam put us. Then he said, in the 22nd verse, he says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering, much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. A baby who dies in infancy, maybe prior to birth, just breaks my heart. He hasn't long suffered and it's certainly not the active enmity and the rebellion against God. No. And you find me a verse of Scripture that shows any child, any baby that died and that went to hell. There is none. There is none. We do not preach that. We have hope in that. We believe in the mercy and the grace of God. Now then, I was asked one time, well then how? How are babies saved? The same way that we are. Same way. By the grace of God, because of His eternal love for us, and because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's how they're saved. John chapter 3, Nicodemus and all, that it's all the same. Everyone. I'm so thankful that we don't have to have a bunch of exceptions to how Jesus Christ saved us. He saved us all one way, and then that saving, that redemption is applied prior to our separation in death. So I'm thankful to know that. Then he says about Adam here in the 14th verse. He says of Adam, who is the figure of him that was to come? He's the figure of that one to come. That's Jesus Christ. Now, so he's a figure of Jesus Christ. It says right there, you know, sometimes people and ministers will get all twisted around in types and shadows from the Old Testament. Well, this is pointing to this, and this is not, it's like, well, okay, yeah, or misapply things and so forth. It's Paul says right there, God says, I should say, who is the figure of him that was to come? That one. You could title this sermon, One Man. You could say One Man. And then we have two federal heads here. But federal head of, I won't say two different groups of people, but anyway, I won't get into that yet till I get back to that 18th verse. He's a figure of him that was to come. And we see here, and in fact, starting in that next verse, 15, in Paul concentrates more on contrast of these two figureheads, these two federal heads. He concentrates more on the contrast than the comparison. Next verse begins with the word but not as the offense, so also the free gift. So there's that contrast. With Adam was the offense. The offense. I think we all know that. Go back to the 12th verse. And all the verses in Romans prior to this. Romans chapter 3. Go see what we are like prior to the Holy Spirit cleansing us and applying the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, well, how did Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet back here. How did he do that? God had faith in his Son that he would perform his part of that eternal covenant of redemption that they agreed upon. That's how solid this is. He knew he was going to do it. He knew it. But so we have the offense, and then so also the free gift, which is Jesus Christ, given by Jesus Christ. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So this other federal head, Jesus Christ, he is the federal head, our legal representative. You've heard me and other ministers preach that, and of course that we were represented on the cross. We were crucified with Christ. Amen. He's our representative. He's our federal head. He is not every human's federal head. The elect family of God. That's whose federal head he is, legal representative. He didn't die for everyone. He just didn't. In the sovereignty of God, he chose who Christ would die for and gave them all to Christ. And then all of ours, he was made to be sin for us. And we'll get maybe, Lord willing, that word made in a moment in another verse. So now in the 16th verse. And not as it was by one that sinned. Some more contrast here. That figure is contrasting it here. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one, Adam, to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. In the fifth chapter and before, Paul has gone through justification. Justification by grace, by the blood of Christ. Justification by works. Justification by faith. The declaration of our righteousness through all those things. And then Jesus was raised again for our justification. And we can go to the 15th chapter of Corinthians and read much about the resurrection and his being the first fruits of them that slept. And then Paul writes, there is therefore now no condemnation. There is no condemnation because of our federal head, Jesus Christ. So the last verse in this parenthetical statement of Paul's says, for if by one man's offense, Adam, death reigned by one, that would be Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So we have one man's offense that put us where we belonged, where we belonged. And then I like the verse, the words in Titus chapter 3, talking about regeneration, but the loving kindness of God. Look, there's the reason. Because I am in the shape sometimes, most of the time, that I question, why would God, surely I can't be a child of God. Surely he couldn't have chosen me because of how sinful that I am, the things that I commit. But it's because of his loving kindness, his love toward us. And so he didn't see how bad I would be to say, okay, well, he's got a little bit more on the good side. We talk about that a lot. No. He has to see us through the finished work of Jesus Christ, through that righteousness, that the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, as I go right from the 12th verse again to this 18th verse, Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came, judgment one, I want to stick a comma there so badly. Judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That's all men, women, humanity. It came to all. So, and it's easy to understand because Adam broke that law there in the garden. Even so, by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So we're talking about now the federal headship of Jesus Christ to us. And so this came up some yesterday at Denton in the preaching and all, but I truly believe I have the full expectation, which is the definition of hope, that I am a child of God, that I was chosen before the foundation of the world, that I am represented in Christ Jesus, and He is my federal head, as is Adam, and that one day I'll be in heaven. That gets me. We need something to get us through life, through the chaos that we have, and go on with the list: chaos, sorrows, tribulations, evil, wickedness, and so forth. But we look at what we need to do in our lives is look at Jesus Christ as our federal head. Look at Him, and rely on Him, and act like He is our federal head. That's what we need to do. In reverence to Him. 19th verse says, "For as by one man's disobedience," he disobeyed the law of God consciously, Adam did, "one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." How many? All of humanity, all of them. Many were made sinners. "So, by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous." There's what we should. We should honor God and praise Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for that. And He was obedient even unto death, even unto death. He came to do the will of His Father. That song that Brother Mark led this morning, "Come unto me," and all. I am meek and lowly. That's Him. But Jesus and Adam did not only, some people will say, well, that was just the example of what we are. And they try to water this stuff down. Okay, then is what Jesus did, is that just an example of how we should live, meek and lowly? It is that. No, these things took place in the Garden of Eden and at the cross. They took place and there were results from those actions. And as Paul does here, he leads up to, he hits original sin, federal headship of Adam, and then he goes toward and works up to Jesus Christ. That's what I like to do. I don't want to dwell on total depravity and our original sin. Do we need to be aware of that and know of that? Yes, because we still have that. We have that nature. That's where when babies begin to really show. We saw a little baby over at Old School yesterday evening, and her eyes were just gorgeous and all, just so precious and everything. But they had that nature of their federal head, Adam, that nature of sin already. When they begin to do more and more, and the parents have to say the things that they have to say to their children and do, then you start. Then we have sin, that nature, then in action, then more prevalent. And I don't even want to think about that. But let me hook two verses together, and then I will close with a verse over in Isaiah. This verse 13 back over here in these parentheses, it says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." And then the 20th verse, if you look over there, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense," this offense that Adam put us on, "might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." He didn't leave us hanging. So that law showed the sinfulness. Then they saw. And that's a good thing. The law is perfect. Now, what did Israel do? Many of them went around through the law to establish their own righteousness. We were given the gift of righteousness. I'd already forgotten, so let me go. So the law came and it shined a light on that sinfulness. Let me go back to this word "made" in the 19th verse. "For as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." So in Adam's action, many were made sinners. We're in that group. "So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." You look at the Greek of that, and the word "constitute." Our very constitution, our being. Adam caused our very constitution and being to be made sinful. That sinful nature was upon us. The act of obedience by Jesus Christ caused our constitution, our being, to be righteous. His righteousness caused that. Now, our battle today is that we're still under our federal head, Adam, in many respects, and yet we are also under our federal head, Jesus Christ. And so we battle that. That's where, you know, I have to, you know, as a child, as children of God, we should interpret and look at things happening around us, how it's affecting us, our family, the church, and so forth. And then I, as a pastor, have to look at things that take place, and yet at the same time, rise above that a little or back off a little and see if the presence of God is in that. I always have to try to decide if I need to do something about something. You all are such a good people that I don't worry about that all the time. But I have to see, because I do not want to be the one that disturbs the peace of the church. I don't want to cause any trouble. I don't want to find some minute thing that may just be bothering me and bring that up and then make it worse to begin with. And I tell you what, I don't believe you can ever make a mistake by exercising patience. Right. Patience in that. And I have avoided, been diverted from so much in doing that. And yet, there's some things that God blesses us. I need to approach this right now. And He blesses. And if He's in it, it'll be blessed. So I won't charge you for that. So now I want to go to Isaiah, the first chapter. Close with one verse here. Isaiah chapter 1, the 18th verse. Come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. So I want to hear what else He says, if it saith the Lord. 18th verse, if I didn't say. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus Christ, He didn't get most of the stain out. He washed us white as snow. How can blood possibly wash something white as snow? Well, He did it. And even though I can see his love here, I tell you again, I want to see it myself, body, soul, and spirit. And we will. We'll see it. We're not going to have to worry about this stuff. I don't have to worry, am I rightly dividing the Word of God? Am I getting this right? Am I misapplying this? And so we'll know. We'll see it. We'll be in the presence of Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we look at. Look at that federal head. And then imagine how you will react when you appear there and see your Redeemer and Savior, Jesus Christ, the great King of all glory, that one that's meek and lowly. May God bless and keep you.
We'll sing a song now.
Let's stand and sing number 237.